Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
All his life, boxing in tiny backwood backyard.
Yeah, kind of the Soviet.
Yes, precisely.
Look,
that.
And then the wives meet.
I hope so. Of course, they're sportsmen.
And she knows he will die. It is not question in her mind. Drago is come to boxing ring for one purpose, to embarrass America, embarrass Western capitalism.
Oh. Hello.
Oh, damn. Well, I mean, do you think Apollo was so certain he was going to win this fight?
But it's exhibition fight. It does not matter. He is there for same purpose. Drago is there to embarrass Eastern communism to make sure America so great.
And he's about to get a full dose of capitalism right
exactly,
here.
Exactly, exactly. A full dose and a half, perhaps. Even more than regular dose.
Yeah, but see, well, this is what we have to offer, which, you know, Russia doesn't. We have the beautiful women, exactly. The large spectacle, the there lights, is, the
there
money.
Is, there is no James Brown in Russia.
That's true.
No one has hair so luxurious in Russia. It does not happen. It is all for purpose of bewilder, amazement. It is classical Western capitalist tactic to distract from obvious flaw with big show. You know, you have James Brown, a dancer, planes, so on and so forth. But the whole point is that, yes, you are living in America. Yes, that is the point, exactly. That is what I am trying to say.
All right, we're listening to James Brown's Living in America, specifically from the Rocky IV soundtrack. We're watching the live performance right now via our laptop computers. This is the Sun Cinema Podcast. Jason?
Yeah, this is the Sun Cinema Podcast. This is a weekly radio program brought to you to talk about the art of cinema through the filtered lens of DC's only privately owned art house cinema, Sun Cinema. I'm your host, Jason Cauley. I'm here with Dave Cabrera and Ryan Hunter Mitchell. Gentlemen.
Hey, how you doing, Jason?
Hi, doing Jason. Great. I think you may have overheard our guest already.
We have expounding. A very special guest today. We've been hyping him up for a few weeks. Superstar psychoanalyst, philosopher, political theorist, but most importantly, film critic Slava Zizek.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm a big fan of show. Listen, long time since last Tuesday.
So at Suns, we have a tiny little cinema down the street.
Yes.
You know, fits like 30 people in there.
Yes.
And we curate the month of movies based off of whatever we're feeling like. And this month, we're doing the Reagan years. So we thought it would be appropriate to have a Marxist Hegelian analytics to our schedule.
Rich wellspring of materialistic imagery. It is the source of many neoconservative philosophical tenets. And as such, expression through cinema is important for reaching wide audience. Little known fact, I actually was film student before philosophy, but I focus mostly on narration, and of course there must be problems with that, you know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah. Nihilism is not allowed in cinema. So David, tell us about last week. We did see Rocky IV. What else? How'd it go?
So we watched a movie called Streetwise from 1984. It's about kids on the street in Seattle.
Pretty good.
Uplifting piece.
Real fun piece. Style Wars, which is about New York, about graffiti and hip hop culture, sort of early 80s, breakdancing. Poltergeist, you were there.
No, no, I was there for Rocky IV. But
about clearly about the disrespect of Native American burial grounds and importance for historical reverence.
That's true.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Otherwise, hauntings.
Escape from New York. Oh, it's a John Carpenter
classic. Yeah.
Did they escape? Don't spoil it. Yeah. You know? and then Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. And then Shadows in Paradise is a Finnish movie. Aki Kaurismäki.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's friends with Jarmusch. They have a similar style. Very deadpan.
Well, and that actor's in Night on Earth.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
I'm blanking on his name because I don't understand complicated names.
It's about a trash man who falls in love
with the teller or the cashier.
Yeah. Well, they call them shit collectors, actually.
That's
classic Scandinavian directness, I would say. No need for pleasantry. You are a shit collector. You collect shit. Let us not dance around the issue.
Well, this was part of the Proletariat series trilogy.
Yeah.
Which it's from Finland, you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where I'm assuming they're socialist.
It's strong socialist tradition, but they resist actively many years Russian influence, especially during Winter War, in sub-battles World War II. They claim independence after World War II. They carve out their own niche because they are not like the rest of Scandinavia. They have very strong cultural heritage linkage, but linguistically it's totally, totally not even close to related.
Well, and they're known for being very warm people, which I think shows off in their cinema. I've actually only seen Finnish films, I believe, by Aki Kaurismäki, and they're all dry as can be and so deadpan, but they're funny in that deadpan. What have we got this week? Anything good?
Tonight we have Down and Out in America, which is a documentary about being down and out in America.
Okay.
I would not have guessed that.
We're showing that one and a doc called Handsworth Songs, which is a documentary examining the 1985 riots in London and Birmingham's Handsworth district that erupted in reaction to the repressive policing of black communities. That'll be a fun one.
Okay.
That's pretty good off the top of your head.
Yeah, off the top of my IMDb head.
So it doesn't just happen in the U.S. It's even our big brother, England, does it.
Yeah.
All right.
But much more politely, I would imagine.
Definitely.
That's probably true.
Rather than just beat and oppress, they say, could you please be second class citizen? Please, thank you.
Tomorrow night we're doing a live a screening of a Prince concert.
A hologram of Prince.
A hologram of Prince. Thursday is this Greek movie called Morning Patrol, which I don't know a whole lot about, except for that apparently it pulls from Raymond Chandler, it pulls from Philip K. Dick.
Oh, from the same book as Blade Runner, right?
Correct, yeah. And someone called it an elegiac Blade Runner. It's a slower...
It's also from the Android Dream Electric Sheep, same basis.
Yeah, he's pulling excerpts from that and from something by Raymond Chandler.
Big Sleep, maybe. I think, by Raymond Chandler.
Yeah.
A bunch of references, so it's made for film geeks.
Perfect.
And what's the big weekend like?
The big weekend is Blade Runner, and then we're doing the final
original
cut.
Original Blade Runner, yes.
Original Blade Runner, yeah.
Well, actually...
Director's cut Blade Runner,
final
extended
cut.
final cut edition, limited... Paramount 40-year anniversary edition.
Yes.
I mean, would it be annoying for us to go over Blade Runner? Do we all have, like, opinions on Blade Runner?
And
or now?
More importantly, do we have several days to spend?
Yeah. How long do we want to spend on Blade Runner? Are we even alive? Nah. Oh, it's my favorite replicant, the Dolby THX robot.
Funky version of THX robot.
This is a Drive soundtrack.
Yeah.
And then what's
Then Wall Street.
Then Wall Street.
Which is, I'm sure we could.
Couldn't be more on the nose Reagan era.
Yeah.
It's showing. Like propaganda film for the entire 1980s, basically. Yes.
Well, I mean, is this kind of the Ayn Rand, like, fulfillment of greed is good? It's finally getting its place in popular culture from, like, Douglas must have been huge at the time, right?
Oh, yeah, Douglas was
already something.
He was already himself, yeah. He was already a massive star.
So, I
coming off of Romancing the Stone, I think.
Yeah, so it's trying to be critical, I imagine, of Wall Street. Is that kind of, or was it not?
I think
it was meant to be.
There's a debate, yeah, that it didn't really capture
a lot of young
that,
like college Republicans were like, oh, cool, I'm going to go do that shit.
This is exactly what I want my life to be, suspenders and money all the time.
Yeah, no, the same shit happened with Wolf of Wall Street. You know, Scorsese is like, no, I'm criticizing like the
excess
of all of this. But yeah, right, finance bros were there midnight showing for the first movie. Doing Quaaludes in the aisles, flipping out over that movie.
Yeah, kids changing their majors on the spot.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell an FBI officer F you on my yacht.
Throw some cash at him.
They're like trading stocks in the theater on their phone, you know?
Yeah!
CJ?
Yes, no, there is no small amount of scholarly debate about whether or not Wall Street, Wolf of Wall Street, so on and so forth, if they are criticism of American Western capitalist ideals of, for example, you have greed, this guy have lot of money, fancy suit, but he's empty. He's without purpose beyond make money. And so I propose question is quest for resources enough? Is purpose found in accumulation of capital? And I say, no, absolutely not. It's not purpose, it's not meaning of life, but it's in, especially with cinema, it's in eye of beholder. Eye of beholder. And every person must use their own radical freedom, as Sartre would say, to determine what purpose, what meaning have this life that they have.
I see. Of course. No. That, you know, that makes it a lot more clear, actually.
Good, kind of thank you.
The entire philosophy of the film is actually a lot more clear to me.
I actually got a fax from a listener who's excited about this Reagan-era film discussion, but I think they misunderstood the theme. I'm going to bring you in this fax so you can see what
they have a great fax program at the Line Hotel. If you just... Bedtime for Bonzo. Well...
See, I think they misunderstood, but...
So many layers of irony here, yes.
Okay, so we've just received a fax. It might be cryptic, but it seems to be just the promotional poster for Bedtime for Bonzo.
Starring Ronald Reagan.
Starring Ronald
for those
Reagan.
Who do not know, starred Ronald Reagan in, what, 1940s?
Well, and that is the ape in the movie is actually the great-grandfather of the Marcel, the ape that was on Friends. Yeah. In the 90s.
1951.
Best most people know. Bonzo.
Is that true?
I don't know. Okay. That was, but this is like peak Red Scare Reagan, right? Or no, this is like pre-peak Red
this
Scare.
This is slightly before McCarthyism.
Looks like this is 51 this comes out.
But certainly he's codifying his conservative viewpoints. He's gunning for presidency of Screen Actors Guild, eventually local representation in California government as well. And he's doing this by appearing, you cannot see at home, obviously, but he have a great hair, lovely chin. He's American archetypal protector, paternalist father.
Yeah, he does look presidential.
He's also hugging chimp as if to say, I will protect you. I will put you to bed.
Well, it is actually, if for those who haven't seen the film and want to rush out and find it, it is him out to prove he's trying to salvage his professional and personal relationships as he's trying to prove environment trumps heredity with this chimp.
Yeah.
So make of that what you will.
I guess at some point we should do a...
It's kind of a cryptic fax.
We should do a good comparison of Bedtime for Bonzo and Any Which Way But Loose.
Ooh,
is this
not
the
bad.
Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, Any Which Way But Loose. Or Any Which Way You Can't, which was the follow-up.
The follow-up. And then also we'll just do Planet of the Apes with Heston.
Why not?
And we'll just compare the swagger of these three Hollywood giants And how they interact with primates.
Take your hands off of me, you dirty, filthy ape.
That's Jason reciting our clip because we didn't have it ready.
That's all right.
Should we take a little break and maybe listen to the trailer for The Dentist for a minute, and then we'll come back?
That sounds relaxing.
Yeah, well, Jason and I just had our teeth tended to this morning, so we're going to take a little break. Then we're going to look at Hollywood and teeth.
You a little scared? No? Good. Give me five.
Dr. Alan Finestone's a renowned dentist who's got it all.
The universe.
A beautiful wife, a thriving practice, and an impeccable reputation.
I know I'm early.
Couldn't wait, huh?
No more braces, thank God.
Fill up quite a practice, doctor.
Kay is always busy, so we're always busy.
But behind the success is a man who's feeling the pressure.
The IRS?
You got real tax problems.
When I tell you to do something, you do it.
You're short staffed as it is.
Do you dress like that in front of the pool, man?
Would you like to make another appointment?
I had an appointment.
You're not wearing anything.
Now, Dr. Finestone's gone over the edge.
This is my wife!
Oh, man, over the edge. We're going to talk teeth. Teeth and film. Did you check?
Yes. Yes.
So I'm sure you're aware of teeth and how they're often used in Hollywood to represent much deeper things than just the enamel.
Of course.
And the aesthetic of pain.
Of course. Teeth, they are one of first thing people see when they are looking at your face. You are smile, you are angry, you are sad. I cannot see your teeth. They are visual cue, but more than that, I propose that a great quote from James Brown from first scene we are watching, where he say first thing is hair, which I do not have great hair, but second thing is teeth. If man have hair and he have teeth, then he have everything. And that is the archetypal portrayal of Hollywood leading man, is great hair, great teeth, he take care of himself, his inner beauty shine through a polished smile, well-coiffed hair, all these personal grooming, maintenance things. And the inversion of that, the destruction, the decay of teeth, is emblematic of a rotten soul. Many villains you see on screen, they have a crooked smile. They are
like Willem Dafoe and Wild
exactly,
at Heart.
Because he is terrifying. Yeah. Because it is smile, but it's what you're hiding, Willem Dafoe. Are you in my closet at night? I don't know, but maybe you are, and so on.
Bobby Peru. Bobby Peru. Yeah. Bobby Panama. For that we. I thought of a few films that have really interesting looks at teeth. Jason, I know you...
Yeah, my favorite's Marathon Man. I love the Is It Safe scene in Marathon. It's not a perfect film, but, I mean, just that scene alone.
Oh, Plant Guy's back. Update for everyone staying at the line.
Maybe electrocuted.
They're tending the plants today, and let me tell you, they're looking sharp. Everything's going great.
Jack has had no issues with the plant people inside his...
Jeez.
I like how the hoodie's just like hanging off his shoulder like that. It's real casual. Yeah.
He's got all these ferns. Great. He's just handing him to the...
Very cavalier attitude towards dress code.
Well, they can't all be the malice, the fine dress malice.
And that is the point, that they should not be that. There is room for expression and functionality.
That's real. American right there, the plant man. I'll tell you that.
His boss probably tell him you must wear hoodie. He say, no, I disagree with you. It is my right. It's not term of employment to wear hoodie. I do not wear hoodie.
Well, see, and that is what freedom is all about, is being able to make these personal choices yourself and not being constricted.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you are free to not take care of teeth if you wish. No one force you to brush teeth. There are consequences. Obviously, but you should not bind yourself to societal restriction of teeth.
Well, let's take a listen to Dustin Hoffman's brother's teeth in Marathon.
Dentist Hoffman or Dennis?
Dentist Hoffman.
Dentist Hoffman. That is an odd name.
That hurt?
Uh-huh.
No, I just think it would. Should take better care of your teeth. Do you have quite a cavity here?
I can't even watch this.
Is it safe?
Look, I tell you, I can't do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That scene will get you. I don't care who you are, man. I don't even have like any kind of issues. I went in today. I had some dental stuff done. It doesn't bother me at all. I kind of sit back and relax and just go through it. And I'm not one of those people who have an immediate fear, you know, of the dentist. But that scene still every time.
It's fine for the listeners. I'm the one that has to look at the YouTube video over here. That was horrible.
Have anyone seen this new HBO show, Barry?
Yeah,
The scene.
Bill Hader, yeah.
Yes, with last episode with Steven Root, where he is captured and they take a metal file to his front teeth.
Ooh.
And he's nauseating. I would tell the Chechen mafia anything they want to know if they put metal file to my teeth.
You sound like a man who speaks from experience.
Not to brag or anything, but yes.
And then 12 Monkeys, I think it's the... so I think when we think of a surveillance state now, which we're becoming more and more...
increasingly close to total.
Yeah, I mean, we're becoming complicit with it now, where they used to have to wiretap us. We're buying our wiretaps to get, you know...
of course.
Special wiretaps that can give us good breakfast options, the weather, and all those things.
Yeah,
come with dishwasher in unit, all sorts of so on and so forth.
But there was a point where Bruce Willis and other lovers of freedom were actually
Brad Pitt as well.
Yeah, we're terrified of the surveillance state, and there were rumors that they were implanted in the teeth. Do we have the 12 Monkeys clip? Is that documentary, 12 Monkeys?
They hear everything. They got that tracking device on you. They can find you anywhere, anytime. It's in the tooth.
Ooh.
Right, Bob? I fooled them all.
Wow, this is a documentary, huh?
Yeah, well,
incredible.
So, would you suggest that maybe this fear of state totalitarianism spying is a... you either have to damage your perfect smile in order to remove the tracking device, but if you want to keep your perfect smile, then you have to also accept...
what's the level of sacrifice?
Yeah,
of course.
Do we have to sacrifice our comfort and our image?
Yes. Yes, and we do. That is point of film. That is what... okay, what I'm trying to say is that you cannot have functional society where all people are willing to accept this state surveillance in exchange for beautiful smile, you have nice car, girlfriend, so on and so forth, whatever. You must demonstrate you are willing to suffer discomfort. And it's true today, as much as in future and in past, that you are willing to be discomforted to rebel against injustice.
That's a good point.
Okay. And this as well is a very intimate sort of relationship. You are, they are on your face, but you cannot see all of them. You cannot see back. You cannot see behind this.
Would this be the subconscious?
I would say it's the root pulp of the consciousness. No pun possibly intended, maybe. But if you are, you know, to get close to a teeth of a person, you are right in their face. You must be very intimately acquainted with them, which is why they're not many people will check for the cyanide capsule of KGB fame, because to get into a mouth is a very intimate, a very nearly sensual relation. People uncomfortable. As with dentists, people uncomfortable with dentists, because what this guy doing poking around in my mouth? Who I am going to be when I wake up from anesthesia? What is my identity after leave dentist office? It's not coincidence. Identity and dentist share root word. It's not coincidence, I say.
Oh, that's true. Actually, damn, a bunch of wealth. Linguistical wealth, dental wealth. All right.
So Hank from Cincinnati just messaged us this clip he wanted to play on the show, if that's okay, to wrap up the teeth segment.
Yeah,
over here.
And there's this.
Okay, let me guess. The floss is garrote wire, the toothpaste is plastic explosives, and the toothbrush is the detonation device.
No, actually. Well, since you've been frozen, there have been fabulous advances in the field of dentistry.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
Because the Brits...
Oh, look, here's Basil.
Because their teeth are so bad.
What odd stereotype to have, you know? It's not, like, really offensive, but it's still, like... Not nice to say.
Yeah,
it's
certainly still offensive.
A whole nation, you all have bad teeth.
Well, thanks, like, thanks for that, Hank. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thanks, Hank.
Yeah, Hank from Cincinnati.
Let's move on to freedom. There's no one that,
yes,
to my mind, that I can think of that loves freedom more than publications such as the National Review. And they gave us a list a few years ago in 2009 of the best conservative movies of the past 25 years. I'm just going to fly through them. Let's say if we like them, hate them. If we've actually seen them,
yeah,
we can, you know, let's just riff on these.
What's the metric here for a conservative? What are they, you know?
You know, okay, well.
They first kind of all, women and minorities serve only as background characters, I think is the most important qualifier, yes?
Yeah, well, they definitely don't pass the Bechdel test.
It says conservatives enjoy the films because they're great movies that offer compelling messages about freedom, families, patriotism, traditions, and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the best thing is
that's nice and clear.
The rich guy wins.
The opening line is, "Once in a blue moon, Hollywood releases a conservative movie." It's man.
What do you got for some examples?
Okay. Well, they say Lives of Others is number one because William F. Buckley Jr. liked it.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because right before he died here. But The Incredibles, I hear this
what?
All the time. Everyone loves, like, yeah.
I also have heard this theory is that you cannot equalize society. It's not fair.
Some people are incredible.
Some people are much better than others, and that is a very appealing conservative message. There is no amount of hard work you can do. There's no amount of villainy you can engage in that will be better than my inborn talent. I am automatically better than you. So society should not even attempt to make exception for people who are not best. That is what I have heard.
If you're taking that angle, it makes sense.
I guess
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
He only wants to help his hero. He see him, he give, oh, I am so smart, I will make technology for you. And what hero says, no, you will get yourself killed. It is my lot in life. You cannot take heroism away from me. But then that turns him into villain, so natural born hero must stop him again. And again, I note, only minority character is there for comic relief. He is not major character at all.
Conservative film. Yeah,
exactly. Take it. Yes. Also take place in 60s, look like. Yeah. 60s, 70s,
something
maybe
like
80s
yeah.
also.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Forrest Gump. It's on here? Yeah,
aww.
Whatever. 300, sure.
Okay,
probably.
Bunch of shirtless homoerotica, very conservative message, of course.
Groundhog Day is on there?
No, I reject that.
So it's just movies from 80s. It's all...
Well, that's 93, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's like the liberal... That's a neoliberal...
Oh, my God. Can I just read this excerpt? That's hilarious. Bill Murray begins the film as an irony-soaked narcissist, contemptuous of beauty, art, and commitment. So I guess that's the liberal. And then his journey of self-discovery leads him to understand the fads of what? Get out of here. Fuck this. I'm not subscribing to this.
Not sound like same movie I have seen.
The Pursuit of Happiness. I specifically didn't see this. The Will Smith one.
Surprise. I did see this.
I mean,
with this message that hard work, you struggle, you are inferior, you sleep in bathroom, but keep at it and American dream.
Yeah, it pays off.
Come for you.
They're black, but there's no racial undertone or subtext, National Review.
Says the National Review.
Is that really what they say?
They're like, it's great. There's black people, but you don't have to think about it. We love it.
Yeah. They're black, but.
They don't rub it in.
I feel that it's, you know, only a reason black major character acceptable is because Will Smith.
Yeah.
Other block actor, they would say, no, this is not a conservative movie. But
no.
The film, Grace Under Fire and Pressure, American Dream, so on and so forth. No, it star Idris Elba, cannot be conservative.
Yeah. He did some time in Bel Air. He's good. He's fine.
He picked up values.
They say Juno. I'm guessing because she keeps the baby. Whatever.
Oh wow.
What
yeah.
To do?
I'm sure.
Blast from the past.
What?
No.
With the, is that the one?
Brendan Fraser.
Alicia yeah. Silverstone.
Beginning of long downward spiral for Brendan Fraser.
That's number 9. So conservative movies must be awesome if that's the 9th best one in the last 25 years.
Alicia Silverstone is a post-feminist woman who learns from him that pre-feminist women had some things going for them.
Oh, not really.
Wow.
These are all being... You are probably wondering how I got here.
Ghostbusters, which is...
Oh, because they make fun of EPA. Yeah. EPA
oh,
is
yeah,
dickless
right.
moron, as Bill Murray says,
yeah.
again and again.
Lord of the Rings, they're saying all of them, but I think everyone wants to take Lord of the Rings. I mean, whatever.
No, whatever.
Okay, sure. There's a bunch of war. Oh, okay, here's one you're going to love, Slavo. The Dark Knight. I hear you're a big fan of the Christopher Nolan Batman.
Yes, yes, I am a very big fan of this guy. He make Batman relevant again, but moreover is that it's so, from conservative perspective, rich guy who want to do something will find way to do it.
Yeah.
Is what I gather from National Review endorsement of this film.
Okay, 13, which I like that this is a good 4 13. Numbers beneath Blast from the Past, Braveheart, which might
actually but they may take our lives.
Ah, yes.
But they'll never take our freedom!
Except until a few hundred years later when they were forced to sign humiliating acts of union, subsuming Scottish royal family into English royal family. Eventually, Scotland tried to strike out, make colony. No one will help them because they are Scotland. Everyone hates them. They go to Panama. With what? With what for trade goods? Woolen cloth in Panama. The colony fell. Everyone dies. Scotland is never the same again. It does not work out
yeah,
the way.
Not a lot of need for woolen cloth in Panama.
Not even a little bit. Also, they see on map, oh, with tiny little isthmus in the middle of ocean. Well, we will dig canal. We will cross. We will dominate world trade. No, there are 1,000-foot-tall mountains in way as well. And also, technology does not exist for such canal yet.
So, they take their lives and they also take their freedom.
That is correct, yes. There's no upside for Scotland. As main character in Irvine Welsh novel once said, it's sight to be Scottish, even in 1980.
We got Red Dawn. I'm just
makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah. Blast yeah. through these. There's a lot.
Yeah,
huh?
Which Red Dawn, original or remake with North Korea?
They're saying the original. Yeah,
Wolverine.
Ultimate enemy. Yeah, always.
Master.
That was the 80s, though. That was the easy
exactly.
part.
Yeah. North Korea yeah. is not even thing then. It's
you're
just
right.
weird, tiny little. Wait, it's not part of China. I did not even know that kind of thing.
right.
Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Narnia.
Because Jesus allegory.
Because, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
The Edge, which I haven't seen.
Oh, The Edge I've seen, yeah, yeah.
I've seen The Cutting Edge.
Alec Baldwin and
oh, right,
Anthony
right,
Hopkins,
right,
David right. Mamet's thing.
Oh, the pain
bear.
Pain makes you know that you're still alive.
Pain makes you know that you're still alive yeah, if yeah. you're one of the richest billionaires on Earth who also happens to have... the most incredible memory of anyone to ever walk the planet,
uh-huh.
you and as an American can overcome
a
anything.
That's
anything.
All four anything. Major conservative including, film
yeah.
check marks
yeah.
there. Rich, American, rich, undetermined.
Yeah, and even like the wilderness and you know man
oh,
versus
yes.
nature,
yes,
you're going to overcome. It's very conservative.
Right,
in that
you
way.
Nature is your bitch. You can make her do what you want if you have enough money and determination,
exactly.
and are also white American male.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Gattaca, yeah, that's kind of anti. Over authoritarian state,
one,
yeah,
because again, it's people are born. Special, you know,
right, right.
even if born special mean your rich parent edit your gene in utero so that you are astronaut with 200 IQ, can run 15 miles an hour for 2 hours, but you were born that way, so that is your God-given right, I assume, is the message they are taking away.
You know, I thought about reading what they wrote, but nah. Heartbreak Ridge.
Heartbreak Ridge, yeah. Early 80s, mid 80s Clint Eastwood thing, the Marine Corps.
Yeah, and, you know, of course we're going to like the Clint Eastwood movies, and they're, you know, they're all pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fine.
It's watchable.
Brazil.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
I get what they're taking from it, because it is like anti-bureaucracy.
It's like a libertarian.
Yeah.
It is criticizing bureaucracy, but...
That's a
As
stretch.
If bureaucracy like doesn't exist in capitalism for... Well, whatever. United 93. Never saw this one.
No, I never saw that either.
Is that Oliver Stone?
No. Paul Greengrass, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the one that landed in Pennsylvania?
It's the one that actually, before Stone did the Two Towers or whatever, that actually got some notoriety.
Okay, number 24, Team America, World Police.
Durka Durka, Muhammad Jihad.
Durka Durka Jihad.
Oh, Durka Durka.
Yeah, this is why I'm always like terrified of like South Park's impression on us, because like, yeah, they had some good like humor and they didn't think anything was sacred. However, like the alt-right meme lords definitely crawled out of South Park-esque humor.
Such is danger of satire. You must hope your audience understand it is satire, not actual fact.
I will tell you, I was in Afghanistan when that movie was out and huge, and people did not understand satire.
Well, I think they probably were getting a kick out of a huge amount of people not getting it. Like, they probably
I'm not like poking fun there, and I was with a bunch of very smart guys, and a lot of smart guys got that out of it, but there were a lot of people who kind of saw this as some weird calling face value charge, you know, the light brigade.
Let us
kind
destroy
of,
pyramids and North Korea and blow up Panama Canal, also on and so
hey, really quickly on that one, we actually even have a show on Full Service called District Durkas, inspired from that film. I have that sound effect on my sampler for this reason.
we'll just keep it on ours.
Two Muslim women talking about like that exact thing, how that movie and that whole moment made everybody kind of stereotype all Muslims. So there's that.
Well,
there's that effect.
Next time we'll have.
So it should be on the top conservative.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I get what
contributed to Muslim stereotyping is number one.
That makes it a great. That's a great feature.
Any Arnold Schwarzenegger film from mid-90s, like True Lies, where all terrorists are from some unnamed Middle Eastern region. They have no real character development. It's just, well, we kill America. We destroy America, and then what? I don't know.
And there's this general Eastern European malaise of, you know, evildoers who are coming from these little, almost...
countries you have never heard of before. I mean,
some are even made up, truly made up countries, you know.
And then we get, topping off the list, Gran Torino.
I knew it would be on there.
Because it's racist. They love it.
You used to stock facts like go five high in Korea, and I'm in theater with old people, and the peal of laughter ring out, and go, oh, yes, we did do that. And I say, no, that is not the tone of the scene. Why are you laughing at that? That is very inappropriate. But for older generation, is, oh, remember when we could say such things to Korean or Vietnamese, or I don't care where these people are actually
They're
from.
Hmong people from Vietnam.
From Vietnam, yes. But again, is that in the national review of movie that is Hmong people?
It's not, but it's the contribution is made by Andrew Breitbart, so
yeah,
that should give you.
It's like,
oh well, I hope he's still burning in hell. Whatever.
Well, I think they still have that. All right, maybe let's do another break.
Wait
a
minute, where's Passion of the Christ on this list?
What
the hell is going on?
It's idolatry. Technically speaking, it's idolatry. It's in direct conflict.
Should we take a break, or should I just give you guys all my pitch, or read this Forbes review for MoviePass?
I read that review as well. I mean, Jack, do we need to take a break, or are we good?
No, let's jump right in.
Let's just riff on MoviePass.
What is MoviePass?
Okay, I actually hardly know. But okay, it's just like they send you this card. You have to sign up on an app in which they send you a card. And so you Ryan's have to wait till the card, card gets here. I'm pulling it out so everyone listening
oh, you have
can
one.
Feel
Look at
this.
That. ASMR the, movie
so
pass.
So it's a pretty good, it's a pretty good thick card. It's got a MasterCard logo. It's got detailed information.
Can you tell us in general how does this post
So
work?
The it's idea a is that it's a, once right? a day. Yeah, so it's like right now it's like $7 a month. It's 80, 90 bucks for a year. You pay for a year and you can go to a movie once a day at like any of the AMC, Regal, now Landmark does it around here. And you can go see a movie. But the catch is that if you like, you can't pre-book the movie. You can't go see the next Star Wars. You just have to go to a movie. If there's seats left when you get to the movie theater, they'll give you a new... You show them the card and they give you a ticket.
Okay, so if I'm going to see something like at AMC Lowe's Georgetown, okay?
Yep.
And I want to go see Isle of Dogs, let's say. I have to walk in with my movie pass, and if there's a seat,
no.
then I can... Okay, that's
if
what
you're
I'm
within
trying
a mile,
out.
If you're within a mile and you have the app...
No, now it's like within 50 yards or something, or 100 yards
100
of the
yards.
Place.
Okay, well,
so
then,
not
yeah,
within
might
a mile.
As well be
That's the thing, there. Is there's all these confusing yeah. rules, and then it says you can do it on an e-ticket, so I'm like, I didn't have the card yet, but I had the app. I was like, cool, I'll get it on e-ticket. We show up, and like, no, that doesn't work, but my friend, she has the movie pass. She got hers for Isle of Dogs at Georgetown.
There
Were
you go.
Are you watching us, Jason?
No, it's just
and
the theater, I guess.
So it didn't work for me. But that doesn't mean I don't like it. I'm still holding out hope that this thing will work. But but let's go over the Forbes review. More importantly than how MoviePass works. Because obviously it's not going to work all the time. It doesn't work for 3D movies. It doesn't work for any big sound movies or anything special. It doesn't work. But okay. if you're just willing to go check out the movies, see what's playing, it'll get you in for free. But here's what this guy, Rob Kane from Forbes, his long-delayed review of MoviePass, 3 stars out of 5. Last Wednesday, after waiting more than 6 weeks for the MoviePass membership card that I'd been promised would arrive 5 to 7 days when I paid for it in August, I finally received the little red card. I know. And then, anyways, he starts saying, oh, it seems like it's a pretty good deal, but here's the experiences I had. And he just keeps on name
dropping. His experiences, too, where, like, my phone died, so... You know, screw MoviePass.
The guy doesn't know how to do anything. Like, first, he just name drops, like, oh, well, I went down to the movie theater in Marina Del Rey. I ditched out of work early so I could catch a movie before getting my groceries. It's like, dude.
Does he say
did
where he got groceries?
No, he didn't. I'm sure it's...
He went to the Ralph's on Pico.
Yeah, exactly. He sees The Princess and the Frog, which I don't even think was out then, but whatever.
But with this movie pass, he can go, oh, they're randomly no. playing midday Princess Frog.
But he didn't realize, like, he's like trying to get it on his app. He can't sign in. It doesn't work. He runs to his car because his phone died right when he got inside the movie theater. He charges it, gets into the movie 10 minutes late, but he realized that he could have just showed them his damn movie pass card.
High quality reporting from Forbes.
Yeah, yeah. No. It's not done. So he's kind of bummed that he watches that one 10 minutes late. The next day, he's getting his car fixed. So he tries again the next day, walks 25 minutes to go see whatever he can, Blade yeah. Runner, but then it's high def sound. So they don't let him
they
take
don't
it.
They don't let him take it. See, that's my problem. I'm a little worried about the movie pass. And how is this affecting Sun Cinema, by the way?
Well,
are you guys countering MoviePass? Have you got any ideas here?
That's where I'm at. Now, okay, everyone else is realizing that no one's going to go to movies unless they're cheap. Or
I can't, just
the
for the record, I can't bring my MoviePass to
no,
Sun Cinema,
we've had,
right?
You are now the second person.
See, I don't know
go
if
to
I'm
Landmark.
Getting MoviePass.
But we have cheap movies, and they're probably going to be interrupted in the middle. You can get drinks. There's popcorn.
Yeah.
I guess they have popcorn at these other places.
Yeah,
but,
they have popcorn at Landmark.
You know, but ours is at $9 or whatever.
Ours is made with coconut oil, too.
Yeah. Take that.
Take that.
And
Landmark.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm still down with this thing. I'm just going to go see, like, crappy movies on a Monday.
Yeah, you and I were talking. You were going to come up with maybe some alternative if you have.
Yeah, well, so if we were to do our own alternative, I think it should be, because this is kind of a socialist platform. Everyone pitches in. Not everyone uses it to the full extent. So some people end up paying, subsidizing other people.
Yep.
So what we're thinking is capturing some rich people and threatening them so we can have their bank accounts. And then we could basically just keep the movies at $5, but we'll take a lot of their money.
Right.
I guess this isn't kind of like MoviePass, actually. It's kind of just us. It's
like
just
that.
Actually.
It sounds a lot like True Lies.
Actually. Yeah, actually, it's more like True Lies. So yeah. I never finished this article about MoviePass, but I did watch True Lies last night. And
I think we all get the point that it's cool thing to have if you are, oh, Princess Frog is playing Monday afternoon
exactly.
down the road from me. I will go see that, but not for our new Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
It's coming out with Childish Gambino as Lando Calrissian. I cannot wait to see. No, none of this.
Yeah, and even
the Childish Gambino is Lando.
That
Gambino.
Is correct. Yes, he is.
Is that real?
Yes, it's what? Perfect casting choice for
wow. you.
Yes, Gambino Calrissian is in this one. It's true.
It's incredible.
Yeah, so
outrageous.
I don't know. So maybe MoviePass is good.
But you have it. So
I have it, but I haven't got to use it yet because it didn't work for me the one time either. But I'm not.
So you're picking on the
I'm not poo-pooing about it. I was fine. I get it. I just paid for the movie. I figured it wasn't going to work. This guy like runs to his car, trips over his shoes while he's getting his car fixed to see Princess and the Frog and then bitch about it. Like it's awful.
He was upset that he
That's
missed
a really,
the first
dude. It's a pretty long article.
And the Ralston Pico is out of organic asparagus. His whole day is ruined.
It's just a shot.
And somehow his car broke down that day, too. Because the next day, well, whatever.
4-hour repair job.
You get it. Slava.
What was gentleman's name again? Rob what?
Rob Kane.
I hear in my head now, like, Rob Kane was reporter for Forbes when suddenly everything go wrong.
The MoviePass movie.
The MoviePass movie available on Netflix.
The MoviePass emoji movie. All Legos.
All Legos.
All right, thanks. Well, we had Lego Zizek today as our special guest. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I would love to come back at some point. Oh, thank you. Many people in studio for clapping.
All right. You've been listening to the Sun Cinema Podcast. Catch us.